Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
As the cover crops, or as the title states, cover crops as killed mulch can be used as an alternative in sustainable agriculture.
Can you use the microphone?
Yes. Sorry. The question is whether they can be used effectively in semi-arid New Mexico. New Mexico is located in the southwestern region of the United States and faces many water issues, just like with many states in the nation right now. Over 85% of the water that southern New Mexico receives from the Rio Grande Basin is used primarily for agricultural purposes. And with depleting aquifers and increasing populations and continued drought conditions, there's become a need to find alternative ways to efficiently produce our crops in New Mexico while reducing water use and increasing water use efficiency. A chili crop, chili peppers are the most important crop grown in New Mexico. 80% of the nation's chili is grown in the Southwest, and a large portion of that comes just from New Mexico. Now, with chili being the most important crop, this is a very important crop to incorporate into a system like this using cover crops. New Mexico commonly does not use cover crops except as a soil building rotating crop. Now, as compared to other parts of the nation, there's not a lot of research in southern New Mexico using cover crops as killed mulches. And additionally, conservation tillage is rarely performed in New Mexico. The growers in our area typically go throughout their fields numerous times before, during, and after crop production. There are many benefits to conservation tillage, such as a reduction in soil erosion, increase in accumulation of organic matter, as well as an increase in water infiltration. And this is because many of the grass cover crops, the fibrous root systems, actually aerate the soil more for the cash crop planting. Now, there's been a lot of previous work in no-till organic systems, such as through the Rodale Institute. They've developed a system of using mechanically killed cover crops for use with agronomic row crops, and they've had use with suppression of weeds. And there's also Ron Morse with Virginia Tech, who's developed a system of using weather-killed cover crops and transplanting their vegetables directly into that mulch the following spring. Now, this well-documented research has really set the blueprint for further research in our region of the country. Essentially, this project was set up to evaluate the effectiveness of cover crops and cover crop mixes for use as killed mulch in a reduced till chili production. We evaluated the weed suppressiveness of each cover crop throughout the cash crop growing season, as well as the insect populations, both beneficial and pest, within those cover crop and through the chili production. We also evaluated the water savings for each cover crop. And of course, the chili yield and the quality was also evaluated. The field was located in Mesilla, New Mexico, and it was, the field was located in Mesilla, New Mexico, and it was set up as a completely randomized design. The field was set up with a subsurface irrigation system and was divided in half to incorporate two separate planting dates, one for our winter cover crops, which would be our cold-tolerant cover crops, and our summer cover crops, which were our cold-sensitive crops. These two planting dates enabled us to incorporate six separate varieties, three cold-tolerant and three cold-sensitive. The treatments were set up as bare ground was our control for both planting dates. Our cold-sensitive cover crops are lab bean and cowpea, which are both legumes, and Sudex, which was our grass cover crop. Our cold-tolerant cover crops were winter rye, which is a grass, Austrian winter pea, which is a legume also, and a fall mix, which is a combination of both grass and legume. The cover crops were planted we wanted to plant them in a timely manner to get enough biomass. So the cold-sensitive cover crops needed to be planted in late summer, early fall, and those would be weather-killed. The cold-tolerant cover crops would be planted in late fall, early winter, and you killed either mechanically or chemically. The subsurface irrigation that we had installed, we used for the establishment of both the cover crop and the chili crop throughout the growing season. And the chili crop was transplanted in both April 2006 and in June 2007. We were shooting for an April 2007 planting date, transplanting date. However, because of substantial rains that we received in late summer of 2006, we were unable to do this. The irrigation was monitored and scheduled through the growing season using a Diviner soil moisture probe. And when each of those, when there was the soil moisture reached a level of negative 10 kilopascals or about 30% soil moisture, we irrigated. Additional variables that we looked at were the light infiltration through the cover crop, the weed counts, which were taken bimonthly using a 1 meter square quadrat, insect counts, again, the irrigation applications that were not only initiated through the diviner, but also monitored using water meters, the soil moisture, again, using a diviner probe, and the chili yield and quality. The chili was hand harvested and sorted, and it was weighed after one harvest. Typically in New Mexico, they get numerous harvests, and so we stuck with one harvest just for simplicity. These here are pictures of our cover crops. Picture A is a picture of our Sudex in 2005. With the biomass we got on it was just perfect, approximately 1.5 meters in height is what we got. Picture B here is of our cold-tolerant cover crops. You can see this right here is the Austrian winter pea, and here we have our winter rye, and this is just before chemical kill. And this picture C is of our fall mix, and that was just taken this year, and this is before the before we killed that. These are pictures of our killed cover crops. This picture here is of our cowpea, and you can see there's very little biomass here, and this is just strictly legume. And you can see the comparison here. This here is our cowpea, and this here is our killed Sudex. And all these right here were all winter killed. Picture C here is of our winter rye, and you can see these green plants here. These are our chili transplants. And picture D here is of the mulch, the winter rye mulch with the maturing chili plant. These are the yields from 2006. You can see there's not a significant difference between the treatments. However, there's not a reduction in yield either, which is what we were hoping we wouldn't find. These are the irrigation totals. And as you can see, again, there's no significant difference between the treatments, which is good. Looking at 2007, there's a significant difference here between the control and the treatments. And we believe that this is because in 2007, we weren't able to transplant the chili into the field until June, so it was transplanted late. Additionally, we were seeing competition with the cover crops being planted because we weren't able to get them into the field in 2006 to ensure a sufficient kill. Also, you can see here that the irrigation applications were substantially, although there's no significant difference, you can see here that the Sudex took on a lot more water than the year before, and we believe, again, that was because of competition, and these cover crops were still growing. These are the cold-tolerant cover crops, yield just from 2007. You can see there's a significant difference between the bare ground Austrian winter pea and the fall mix. However, the winter rye, there's no substantial or significant difference between that or any of the other treatments. And looking at this, and then looking, again, there's no significant difference. However, there appears to be a trend where the winter rye and the fall mix use a significant more amount or higher amount of water. And we're not sure why that is at this point. We're still looking into that. But there is definitely a trend there. This is our weed data from 2006. These are weeds per square meter. And these are total weeds, not separate weed species. And you can see that there is some significance. However, it's not between the treatments. It's simply between, it's primarily between the dates. And you can see that there is some weed control or weed suppressiveness in the first, in the early part of the growing season, which is important. That's when chili growers want to have their, have low weed counts. And that's beneficial there. As far as the rest of the season, it's a little hard to tell. They seem to be scattered throughout the season. There's still a lot to learn about optimizing this system. There's, as far as planting dates and water use, there we need further information to evaluate when farmers should use these cover crops as killed mulches. There's seasonal differences from year to year, and we need to have more information to know when there's going to be a risk in planting. For example, when we had our high rains in 2006, we weren't able to get those summer cover crops or those cold-sensitive cover crops in the field for a complete kill. So they were competing in 2007 with the cash crop, decreasing our yields. There needs to be a complete kill. And the 2006 assessment shows some benefit in the early season weed control, which is, again, beneficial. I'd like to thank you for your time and would be happy to answer any of your questions. I think it would be a good practice. I think what we were trying to do is, rather than just keep it on the bed itself where the chili was transplanted, was get it into the furrows also, because a lot of the fields are right now furrow irrigated. This was set up under drip irrigation, so it was ideal to have it in the furrows. So a lot of growers would need to go to drip irrigation to do something like that.